Welcome to High Mill. I love when I see our next generation get to put on what they've learned in VBS, as well as honor our graduates, because like my father said, Pastor Chuck, it is the next generation. So we are week four into our series, actually week five, I believe, in our series called Inspired. And this morning, we're going to gather around the Word. We're going to learn. We're going to be inspired by a man named Jehoshaphat. And then at the end of service after communion, we are going to break for 10 minutes, maybe 15, but we're going to keep it right to 10 the best we can, and then gather back in here together for a church-wide meeting regarding our present and future for High Mill, which we are really excited to share. So we'll have Q&A. We'll also have some other leaders being up here sharing with myself as well. And so I encourage you to please stay and make it a priority. Okay, so you've heard me on multiple occasions say that my favorite movie series is the Rocky movies. I've said that over and over the years. My brother and I grew up watching them. Is there anyone in here who has never seen a Rocky movie? Just boldly write, oh my gosh. Here's what I want you to do. The next time that you sit down to spend time with God in prayer or scripture, I want you to not. And I want you to go watch a movie, one of the Rockies, because I promise you it will be just as beneficial as time with God. They're that good, okay? The Rocky series is an amazing set of movies that detail a nobody rising up through the ranks, the Italian stallion Rocky Balboa, to become the champion fighter. I mean, his story is just amazing. If you meet a Rocky fan, they tell you, you know, the Creed movies, the new ones that follow the Apollo Creed's son, no. They aren't the real thing. You need to go back to Rocky 1, 2, and 3, made in the 70s and the early 80s, okay? I'm a diehard. Now, a lot of people, they'll tell you, you know, who's the main character? Well, it's Rocky, of course. But there's also this other character that is so important in the entire series of the story of Rocky. And it's an old, grumpy man, okay, wrinkled face. He was a firecracker. His name was, let's see if anybody knows it, Mickey. There you go. Mickey was Rocky's trainer. And Mickey, man, he didn't play around. This man, he was an old man, and he was gruffly, he was like rough around the edges. I think we all have one of those in our lives. A grandpa, right? A great-grandparent, or just an old man neighbor who just knows everything, and they're just rough. Those are the people you want to sit by because they got wisdom, okay? So Mickey was his trainer, and all the time Mickey would be in Rocky's ear like, come on, Rocky, you got to fight, you got to be strong, you got to rise up to the occasion. And so one of my favorite scenes, actually my favorite scene of all, in all of Rocky, is an interchange between Mickey and Rocky himself. And I'm going to do my best, but I'm going to butcher it, I'm just going to tell you, and I'm going to try to do it in the way Mickey does it. But they're talking, and Mickey's talking to Rocky about having this, you know, fighter kind of spirit, a spirit that is relentless, that will go the extra mile, that doesn't stop, that doesn't quit. And he's talking to Rocky about it. And he says, you know, Rocky, there's going to be a time when you're on the mat and you're laying flat and you don't know what to do. Go see the movie. It's Rocky 3. It'll be better, but I'm doing my best here. You're going to be laying flat on the mat and you don't know what to do. I don't know why my voice is cracking too. Man, I apologize, guys. All right. And when you don't know what to do, you got to find it within you to keep fighting. You can't give up. And when you're ready to give up and you're laying down and you hear nothing on the other side but failure or quitting, I want you to hear one voice that's on your shoulder. And I can't cuss on stage, okay? But I'm going to do my best not to. He says, when you're falling and you got nothing left, I want you to hear the voice of old Mickey on your shoulder saying, get up, you SOB, okay? Use your imagination. Get up, because Mickey loves you. That's what he says. He said, get up, because Mickey loves you. And Rocky's standing there in the ring. It's a quiet room. No one's in the training facility. He looks at him. He says, okay, Mick, okay. You see, what Mick was trying to put within Rocky was a fighting spirit. A spirit that would never, ever give up. A spirit that would look at adversity and challenge and mountains and obstacles and never, ever give up. So maybe you're thinking, why on earth would that be my favorite scene of the entire series of Rocky? Here's why. Because I believe that every single one of us need that voice on our shoulder that says to us, get up. Not maybe cuss at us, but you know, get up. It could be the voice of a spouse, a friend, a child. But as followers of Jesus, we know that we have the voice of the Spirit of God that says, get up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit playing the pity game. Don't run. Get up. That's why I love that scene so much, because it's a reminder that every single one of us are going to encounter obstacles and challenges that will require us to get up. You have the choice not to. You have the choice to disobey and not listen to Mickey. But every single one of us, the challenges that will be in front of us will require intestinal fortitude for us to rise to the occasion, to be strong, and to get up. It might be a mountain of debt that you have in front of you. It might be the divorce that you're walking through. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a diagnosis of cancer. It could be an issue in marriage or parenting. Whatever it might be, it's an obstacle. It's a challenge. And it's in the way of who you are called to become as a Christ follower. And the longer that goes on, the will to fight gets weaker. And something within you has to take place. Something ought to take place. It's that time or that situation where you rise up because you hear the voice, get up. And somehow you have this uncanny ability to fight through, to battle through, to grind it out, and come to the other side where no matter what was in your way, whatever obstacle, it might blow up your expectations, it might make you fall, it might make you fail, but it will not destroy you. There is a difference. Every single one of us are going to go through times and situations where we're going to fall. It's going to happen. But it need not be the death sentence that will destroy us. But so many people allow those mountains, those situations, to be the death sentence. I look around this room, many of us, we have things that we've walked through. It could have been our death. It could have been what did us in. But something within us rose to the occasion. That is a fighting spirit. You see, hell will use everything to throw your way, to bring discouragement, to bring anger, bitterness, paralysis. Hell will throw everything your way to try to get you to run, to cower, to dig a hole and hide like an ostrich. But the ones who have a fighter spirit are the ones who rightly assess what is in front of them and are able to rise to the occasion. Because remember, the greatest bouts of character, the greatest depth that we develop and grow in, is not found when things are easy. It's not found when everything is lining up like your ducks in a row, like American culture wants you to believe. True character is found when you refuse to run and you engage what is in front of you with strong shoulders, because you got up. Now, this all sounds high and mighty and great, right? I mean, this is like, yeah, okay, let's go, rah, rah. How do we get there? How do we possess that within us? And maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't have that going on right now. I promise you, you will. You will encounter obstacles. You will have moments where the will is at its bottom, where fatigue has set in, where the will to fight is gone. Anybody ever been there before? Just, are we human this morning? Are we real? Okay, we real. I've been there. You can't fall back on personal strength at that moment. You got to fall back on something that's deeper. How do we get to that deeper place? There's a man named Jehoshaphat. His parents didn't like him, so they named him Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was an amazing leader, an amazing story that is obscure that many people don't even realize is in the Bible. It's in 2 Chronicles 20, and he shows us how to live with a fighter mentality, the spirit of a fighter. And he goes through this process that is so, I mean, it's obvious to us, but we got to stop and just see it and allow that, the word of God, to speak into our lives, where we're at and what we're going through. All right, so we're going to only look at the first few verses, and we'll take a break. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'll just read verses 1 to 3 at first. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. You know what I love about this man named Jehoshaphat? He feared. Maybe you're thinking, wait, no, fear's bad. We're followers of Jesus. We should have no fear. No, come on. Let's be real. We have fear. It's a primal emotion. He feared. He saw what was in front. It caused fear. Fear is okay. What matters next is what you do with it. Now, you guys might know the name of this individual. He's become like this hero to me, Alex Honnold. Alex Honnold climbed El Capitan, which is the mountain face in Yosemite, 3,000 feet tall. He climbed it with no ropes, no harness, only a belt with some chalk, and good climbing shoes. I have watched everything I could about this guy. It has blown my mind, his story. But you see, what he did, and I found this in one of the kind of side interviews, and I loved what he had to say. What he did on occasion, when he would go to the mountain before he would climb it, before the day would come, he would go to the mountain and he would just drive up and he'd walk up to the base, go on the hike, and he would get to the base where he would begin, and he would put his hands on the face of El Capitan, and he would look up, 3,000 feet up, and he would just stand there. And the person's like, "Well, why would you do that? What were you doing?" And he was like, "I had to size up the giant in front of me. I had to get a healthy dose of reality of what I was encountering, what I was facing before I could actually do it." You see, to have a fighter mentality, the spirit of a fighter is somebody who does not walk in denial. It is someone who accurately sees what is in front and the challenge that exists and then does whatever possible to overcome. This rock climber would do this, and he did it. He climbed it. But he said the most important part for him was getting an accurate portrayal of the challenge. Jehoshaphat had that right in front of him. And he did something really, really important with what he did as he sized up the giant. It was seek God. See, the best kind of fighters are those who first understand what's in front of them and secondly knows where their strength comes from. Jehoshaphat knew strength came only from God. That was it. He sought the Lord. He feared. He saw it. He didn't try to run, you know, from the reality with alcohol, with anything else in the way, some distraction. He didn't walk in denial. He embraced it. And by embracing it, he was able to rightly walk one foot in front of the other, saying, "God, you got to do this. God, I need you. God, you are my strength." As you see in the story, what comes next in verse 4, after he sees and takes in the challenge in front of him, something beautiful happens with his mind and how he thinks. Beginning in verse 4, "And so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and this is what they said." Now, guys, listen to this and imagine there's Jehoshaphat who has fear. He sees the challenge, and now he comes to pray. What does he pray? "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, disease, famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. And here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now think about this, verse 13. Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Can you imagine that scene? Jehoshaphat, the spirit of a fighter, goes in to pray. And he's praying. And as he's praying and he's pouring his heart out, he hears the pitter-patter of children behind him, of mothers and grandmothers, fathers and grandfathers coming, waiting. What are we going to do? Here they come. And what does Jehoshaphat do in prayer? He falls back on the track record of God. The spirit of a fighter is somebody who possesses this good memory of God's handiwork in their lives. You've been flat on the mat. You've fallen. You got the mountain of debt. You've got the death in the family, whatever it is in front of you that is killing you on the inside, which is real. What do you fall back on? Father, you've been faithful. Father, you have walked beside me. You have been there for me. You'll get me through this moment. You'll lead us in this time. I trust in you. I've seen how you have served those who have been righteous. I trust you. See, that's falling back on the character of God. What brings stability when we are unstable is remembering equilibrium. Equilibrium is remembering who God is, who you are in light of God's truth, and how he will carry you forward. You know, I've been very vulnerable times past about things I've walked through. And maybe it's about 6 months ago, I shared about months previous when I went through my own mental breakdown where my world felt crashing in inside my own mind. One of the hardest things I've ever gone through for myself and our whole family. And if it weren't for Michelle and my father to walk beside me to really strengthen me in those moments, you know, my goodness, it could have been really even worse. But apart from those two, I had a conversation with a mentor and a spiritual father in my life who said something to me that helped me immensely. We were on the phone, and I was just freaking out. And he said to me, I want you to stop right now, and I want you to remember and tell me two times in your childhood when God was with you. And I said, I can't tell you, you know, if God appeared or did something. He's like, it doesn't matter. Just tell me a time where you know you needed strength to get through that you didn't have. And I did. I told him. And it changed something within me. It helped me in that moment to recognize, hey, wait a second. I might be down on the mat right now. I might have taken a hit. But that changes nothing regarding who I am in Christ and what God is doing with me, lifting me up. And that brought confidence. See, what God is calling you to have in your life is confidence, knowing who you serve. So you size up what's in front of you. You rightly understand what it's going to take to keep going. And you walk with confidence. That's a warrior mentality. I have a little prop I'm going to show you real quick. You're going to get freak out and you're going to get scared for a moment, but don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you too bad. Okay. This right here is an authentic spear, part javelin. It's made of steel. I'm going to show you how confident I am. I'm just going to launch this right into the middle. I'm just kidding, okay? Yeah. I saw eyes get really big. This thing is sharp, okay? I mean, this is pure steel. Now, when you think about a spear, which this, by the way, was given to Pastor Chuck many, many, many years ago by an African missionary. This was used, I believe, by the Maasai tribe for young warriors. When they would go out to become a man, they would take a spear and they'd have to kill a lion. Yeah. What do we do here? You turn 18, boom, you're a man, right? No, we're missing it, okay? So they would go out and they have to kill a lion. Yeah, you graduates, come find me afterwards. I'm going to give you this. You're going to become men today. But this spear is the real deal, okay? But when you look at ancient warriors, and you see even in Sun Tzu, The Art of War, and there's other writings about, you know, warrior mentality, a warrior was never ready when they clinched this thing with white knuckles. To clinch this with white knuckles didn't mean confidence. To walk around like this, you know, tense, it was the wrong posture. This symbolized lack of confidence. This symbolized the lack of confidence. Confidence for a warrior was always this. Loosely in the hand. Watching, waiting, ready. Because a warrior understands that what is in their hand is powerful, and how to wield this weapon is also powerful. And that's all you need to know. And so you'd hold it loosely. But if you held a tight grip, what it symbolized was a lack of confidence in your ability and the weapon you carry. See, every single one of us, we've been given a gift in the Holy Spirit. He is our advocate. He is our friend. We will come across enemies, obstacles, and challenges. And if we white-knuckle the whole journey and say, oh my gosh, God, here we go, what are you going to do? You're missing it. What you do is you stand strong. You take the shots. You take the arrows. You feel the pain. You let it sink in. And then you say, is that all you got? That is a warrior mentality that Jehoshaphat has, that God's calling us to have. Because the confidence comes from who you serve. Now, something beautiful is about to take place. Look at verses 14 and 15 as we start bringing this home. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed because of this great multitude. Get this, for the battle is not yours, it is God's. The battle is not yours, it is God's. Now I want you, if you mark in your Bible, I want you to circle then, at the very beginning of verse 14, then. This is a Hebrew word that is known as being sequential. If A happens, then B will happen. What happens before the Spirit of God moves? Jehoshaphat and the people, they come together and they assess the challenge. What follows? They fall back on the track record of their God. And what happens? The Spirit of God moves. If you get any one of those mixed up, you miss it. In your life, don't run. It is easy to run. It is the coward way to run. Don't run. Stand. Stand firm and allow the Holy Spirit to then move. The Holy Spirit cannot move when you're running from the obstacle. The Holy Spirit can only move when you're running into the fire. That is how he moves. That is how beautiful stories are written. Amazing chapters of your toughness, your life. That's what we see happening here. The Spirit of God moved in powerful ways. Using our boxing analogy, picture this, guys. It's like a boxer who is on the mat, and the referee's going, 5, 6, 7, and you hear it. And you, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're filled with this adrenaline and energy, and you climb the ropes, and you stand to the top before the referee hits 10, and you look at the enemy across the round, across the boxing ring, and you don't say with pity, why me? You say, try me. Come on. That's what happened in the camp. The Holy Spirit moved. Confidence came. People were motivated to be part of the change, to stand strong. That's what happens with people who are filled with a warrior mentality, both in individual life, in the church, in every sphere that we walk in. As the story concludes in verse 16, it's a beautiful picture of what happens. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness. You will not need to fight in this battle, only position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear, be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And so they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." No matter what you encounter, you've got to remember, as followers of Jesus, you have a power within you that is not your own. The battle is the Lord's. When you realize that, you're able to release the tight clench and just say, "You got it, God. It's all you. You got nothing to lose and you got everything to gain. The journey might be hard. You might fall. It's all right. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not even you. And if it was you, you wouldn't even have a shot. But because it's the Holy Spirit within you, beautiful things can take place in your life." And when we look in the Old Testament, Numbers and Joshua, we see verses over and over that talk about the Lord God going out before Israel fighting on their behalf. Don't forget the deep theology from Genesis to Revelation is that the children of God have always lived with a conviction that God is their fighter, not us. He is the one. What we do is what they did. We position ourselves to be faithful, to do what he calls us to do, what's before us, and he will lead the way. It's that simple. But if you run from it, if you put your head in the sand, what can happen is tragic. The story of your life that might be the most inspiring for your children, for your grandchildren, and friends around you might not be in your book. Because the greatest stories are individuals who stood strong, weathered the storms, and allowed God to do a redeeming miracle through their life, through their grit, through that warrior spirit. Don't let that part leave your story. I believe the biggest thing the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in your own life, it's time to trust him, to give him everything, and to allow the chips to fall where they may. You have nothing to lose by giving everything you've got. You only got everything to gain. And God wants to take that obstacle in front of you and show you how you can be faithful in the midst of it. And it will be hard. It will be difficult. My goodness, those are the journeys that make you more like Jesus than any other. Don't run from it. Stay in it. Josh, you can come on up. You know, this morning I was praying, okay, God, I get it, Jehoshaphat, spirit of a fighter. All of us have individual things that we've got going on. I don't know if you know the phrase, you're better together. We are better when we are unified as a family unit, as a church. If you're a visitor, welcome to the family. Requirements are really just don't be a jerk, all right? Love Jesus, love people, come on in, all right? We're that simple, by the way. You belong. You got challenges. You got worries. You got fears. We're better together. We're unified together. And so every Sunday when we come together to the table, what we're doing is we're coming together with bread and juice that symbolizes where our strength comes from. Just like Jehoshaphat shows us. Our strength comes from the unity we have in Jesus Christ and the Spirit that he has given to us. And so we're going to stand here in a moment after I pray, and we're going to come forward, and then we're going to get the bread and juice, and we're going to surround this area right here. And I'm going to pray a prayer over us, a prayer of unity and strength. And then we'll break, and we'll come back for a team meeting here as a church, okay? All right, I want you to stand with me, but don't move yet. Just please stand with me. Father, before we come to the table this morning, we bring to the surface, Lord, that thing, that challenge, that obstacle. And Father, we take it in. We don't run from it, we just take it in. We assess that it's big, Lord. We've got fear. But we fall back, Lord, on the track record of your faithfulness, that you did not bring us this far as followers of Jesus to fail, but you've brought us to this point, this precipice of glory and greatness, because you're going to challenge us. You're going to grow us. And as we submit to that process, we trust, Holy Spirit, that you will move in our lives, and then we'll be able to hold that spear loosely, because we know the battle is yours, it's not even ours, and we will be faithful with what you put in front of us, one foot in front of the other. That is our prayer this morning, Father. And as we come forward for the bread and the juice and communion, Lord, we recognize where our strength comes from, and we bond together. We love you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.